if you have inventory left, you have an asset you can sell, even if it's a break even. So, mistake to avoid is to look at the data, do the research on the comparables, trust the facts.
Welcome to the Amazon Files podcast, brought to you by Mommy Income, where we help others start and scale businesses on Amazon by taking small, consistent steps. Here is your host, Kristen Ostrander, a 17-year e-commerce veteran who knows a thing or two about building a seven-figure Amazon empire from the comfort of her own home. Surrounded by three energetic kids and a hunky husband, she still has an insatiable desire to see others succeed.
Hey, hey, welcome everyone to this week's episode of the Amazon Files brought to you by Mommy Income. I am your host, Kristen Ostrander, and I am promised you another Q4 episode in this series. And let me tell you, I love Q4 and I love talking about it. It's one of my favorite things about selling on Amazon is it's just such an exciting time to be selling online. It's very crazy, busy. You see sales just going up and up. Records are broken. It's a really fun time, but it can also be very stressful. It can also be very scary and hard for some people that don't know what they're doing. Whether it's your first time or your 10th time, it's always, you know, there can be pros and cons, and there's definitely mistakes to avoid. And I wanted to share with you some of my mistakes that I've made during Q4 that I don't want you to make, because they cost money. They don't feel good. They feel bad, but sometimes it's kind of a catch-22 where they feel good and bad. Like, oh, that was awesome. But, you know, so I want to be able to share with you guys a few of the mistakes I've made on Q4, losing money, making kind of mistakes that I've made, so that you guys don't repeat that. So you can take note and not repeat the mistakes that I've made during Q4. I wanted to remind you of joining our Facebook group. We always have a Facebook group. It's your code word. Again, jumpstart is the code word. mommyincome.com/join us, code word jumpstart. You need a code word because we don't like spammers. Everybody, there's so many people on Facebook. They want to join like thousands of groups. You're like, you know, you can't pay attention to thousands of groups. So we only want you in the group if you really want to come in, ask questions, participate, help other people, or if you're brand new, get the help that you need. There's other amazing sellers. We have several admins and a lot of people that know what they're talking about. And you can always, you know, tag me in a post if you want to, and I can get to it when I can. But there's the sellers helping sellers, really giving you guys what you want to do to pay attention to selling on Amazon, everything from Q4 to shipping to bundles to wholesale to G10 exemptions to all of your questions that you have on Amazon. So mommyincome.com/jumpstart is your code word to join the Facebook group so that you can get all the answers that you need. But there's also something awesome that you need, and it is mommyincome.com/jumpstart. I do this once a year. It comes and goes really quickly. It is live. I teach a live class. If this is your first time ever doing Q4, I want to help you not only prepare, but give you examples of what to sell in specific categories. Mind you, we're not even going to talk really about toys, but we'll get to that in a little bit tonight. But selling strategies to maximize your profits. Holiday action calendar is downloadable so that you can use that to make sure you're planning out your Q4 properly. Shipping deadlines, plus a live Q&A so you can ask some of your questions. If we don't cover it in the class and somehow you still have questions, then I am there to be able to answer your questions that you have. But the biggest thing that people love about it is the ideas of what to sell during Q4. And I'm talking about beyond Christmas decorations, Halloween decorations, Halloween costumes, like the normal things that people know. Yeah, we'll talk about some of those, but some of the things that you didn't think of, things that you're not thinking of, the outlier stuff that people are buying by the thousands, yet it's never really talked about. It's not the sexy stuff. It's the stuff that you forgot you should probably sell online. You know, it's those last minute things. So we're going to talk about that during Q4 Jumpstart, mommyincome.com/jumpstart. It's a live class. After the live class, there will be a short replay period with extra costs. So if you don't jump in live, you got to pay extra for the replay. And I would love to see you there live. I want to help you crush Q4. And today I'm going to help you with that by helping you avoid the mistakes that I have made. And I'm going to tell you a few stories. And yes, you can laugh. And you can be like, wow, I don't know if I can trust her again after this. I'm just kidding. But seriously, I'm going to tell you some of the mistakes that I've made so that you don't make the same mistakes during Q4 and that you can go in and just be ready. Okay. So one of the first things is not ordering enough inventory. And I know I talked about this in last week's episode, but I'm going to tell you a story about what happened and the reason it happened and how you can kind of avoid that. Because I honestly believe that failure is better than regret. That is really just my mantra right now, that I would rather fall on my face trying than sit back in my seat and go, oh, I wish I would have. I hate, I wish I would have. I don't like regret. I'd rather just jump in and see what happens, rather than worrying and wondering what could have happened if I would have. So that's just how I function. But there's been many, many times, especially with inventory, it's scary, you guys. It's spending money. It's unknown. It's, even if it's unknown to you, maybe even people have been selling thousands for a while and you just, it's, if it's unknown to you, it's scary. So I totally embrace that. I validate that. Your feelings are valid. But we have to trust facts and not feelings. And this is part of why I tell you these stories, so that you can understand that, yes, we all struggle with doubt and overwhelm and overthinking a bit, but at some point we got to pull the trigger. So I had this great idea one time in Q4 about a bundle, about this little mini Christmas tree and these little bulbs. And I'm talking like desktop, like not some huge one, but like this little desktop thing where you know, a little Christmas tree and I put a bundle together with the Christmas tree. It didn't come with lights, so I found a mini thing of lights and little bulbs and a little star to put on it and sold it as a bundle. But I just didn't know how it was going to do, number one, because there was nothing to compare it to. No one was really selling. This was years ago. And no one was really selling these small Christmas tree kits. They're big Christmas trees people would sell, or they'd sell them that are pre-lit Christmas trees, but no one was really selling these little kits. And I thought, that would be fun to have a little Christmas tree kit you could put on your desk. I love Christmas. I love the decorations. I love the glitz and glamour and the fun and the gift giving. And it's just such an exciting time. There's so many different things to do. And so I was like, I want one of those. And that's how a lot of my bundle ideas start, by the way. I'm like, I want one of those. And if I want one of those, I wonder if they have it on Amazon. And if they do, how many other people do want one of these? So anyway, we create this bundle with this little mini Christmas tree, the little decorations that go around it. We even put like a little tree skirt with it because the bottom was kind of ugly. So all this little package, it didn't even cost that much to order it wholesale, but like, we were scared because we'd never seen one. So we had nothing to compare it to, you know, frequently bought together kind of showed maybe people bought this and this, but like there was no other mini Christmas tree full kits out there. And so we had to be the first, and being the first is always scary because it's like do or die, right? Like you could totally fall on your face and be like, there's a reason that there's none of these out there because no one cares. Or the reason is because someone hasn't brought it to the table yet. So we brought it to the table. And we ordered 24 of them, and 24 of them like was like kind of early on, and we didn't send it in until like, you know, mid to late October, which was another mistake. But the problem was that we had ordered 24. They hit the warehouse. It was a brand new bundle and we were scared. So we only ordered 24. And it also that the cost was about $12 each. So that seemed a little bit pricey as well. So we're like, okay, we're not going to spend that much. We're not going to break the bank on these things. It's a new bundle. We sold out in 3 days and we couldn't get more. There was a couple of the pieces that we couldn't get more of and they were just sold out. And yeah, we could have done arbitrage and ran around trying to kind of piece them together, but we were running out of time. Our profit was about $14 per. And so we could have made thousands. They literally sold out in 3 days. This is before, I think they hit the shelf on like right before Halloween, like a couple of days before Halloween. So we literally missed the whole month of November. We could have probably sold thousands of dollars of these. And at $14 a piece, it was a pretty easy bundle to put together because the tree came in this little box. And so everything kind of just tucked in the little box. So it was just, so mistake to avoid, don't be scared to pony up. Because here's the other thing. Not only do we have 2 full months of Q4 left, but we could have sold them a year afterwards. They could have been later. There's people that do Christmas in July. So if you have inventory left, you have an asset you can sell, even if it's a break even. So mistake to avoid is to look at the data, do the research on the comparables, trust the facts. What are the facts? What's the worst that could happen? The worst that could happen is we could have lost a couple hundred dollars more and we would have been like, oh, well, these didn't really sell very well and we have to liquidate them, or are we going to be stuck with them, or we have to put them in our basement until next year or something like that. But sometimes the reward is better than the risk, because would you have risked a couple more? I mean, we could have spent a couple more hundred. It wasn't like we didn't have the money to spend. I mean, that's something that's really scary when you just risking it means risking it all. And of course, not putting all your eggs in one basket is really helpful, but like, it's Christmas, like people buy this stuff. So it was looking at the comparables to, okay, I can spend another $500 on this stuff and have the potential to make $5,000, or I could just spend a couple hundred and hope to make that. And then what if I run out? So looking at like, what is the best case scenario here mathematically? If I purchase this inventory and I plan to make this much profit on it and I sell every single unit all gone, this is the profit I'm going to make. And then do the worst case scenario is whatever you've invested, you have all the inventory, but you didn't sell a single one, then that's like the worst case scenario, right? The worst case scenario is that the UPS truck gets hit and you don't have insurance and you lose everything. That's actually the worst case scenario. Because if you have inventory, you have something to sell. Even if you don't sell it on Amazon, even if it doesn't sell in that moment, you still have something physical you can sell for even $5 if you have to, at a flea market, at a yard sale, whatever. And I've done that plenty of times. When we used to live in our old house, we lived on a really busy street. And on the busy street, we had a yard sale every year. And people literally looked forward to our yard sale. We put it in the paper and everything else because it was all of our Amazon rejects, what I call them, like scratch and dent kind of stuff that was still like new in the box, but it had, you know, like crushed corners, something you couldn't really sell new on Amazon. This was really before kind of OfferUp and all those different things, before Facebook Marketplace. And so we had this big yard sale and people would come and just buy all this stuff because they're like, it's pretty much brand new. It's just, you know, scratch and dent kind of thing. So there's always ways to get rid of inventory, but you can't sell what you didn't buy. So just keep that in mind, because that's my worst and biggest like mistake I feel like I've made. And you know what? Sometimes I make it every year. Because you just, there's no exact science to be like, let me sell every single unit all gone in perfect timing. I mean, if every store did that, there would never be a clearance section, because sometimes things just don't go as you planned and you have to mentally prepare for that. If it's a holiday item, that's the next thing I want to tell you about not ordering enough inventory. If it is a holiday specific item, then chances are you're either going to have to hold it for the next year, or it's not, you know, it might be a slow seller. Maybe you'll sell one or two, you know, so if you're left with hundreds, you know, you have to think about liquidating or storing or whatever. But if it's not necessarily holiday related and you have some extra, things sell year round and on different platforms. So that's something we'll talk about in a little bit as well. But I'm going to challenge you to order more than you think. Because most of us aren't like, I'm going to order 5,000 of these and it's going to be awesome. I mean, most of us aren't that optimistic, right? Let's just be honest. Most of us are just like, oh my gosh, I'm scared. And I'm honest too, you guys, I get scared too. But, you know, I look at numbers. Numbers tell the truth. And if there's not a whole lot to compare it to because you're doing a fresh new bundle, then trust all the numbers surrounding it and make a good decision. Never spend more than 20% of your budget on any one thing. You know, because then you can kind of diversify that way. But look at the data, trust the research, trust that. Don't worry about feeling. Look at the numbers. What is the potential gain if you sell out and how many? You know, say, okay, what if I sold 3 a day for 60 straight days? How many is that? Is that possible? Can I compete that way? And what would I actually make? And then see if it's worth it to you or not. Don't make the mistake of under ordering, because they can't sell what you didn't buy. So make sure you're paying attention to that. Okay. My next big mistake was, again, I didn't order enough inventory of a special tablecloth and centerpiece that I was selling for Thanksgiving and then Christmas. Same thing. This one was actually Christmas. I forgot. The Thanksgiving one was a different story. That was a totally different story. Maybe I'll tell that story too. But anyway. Okay, didn't order enough. It was a tablecloth and centerpiece, which free bolo for you. Tablecloths and centerpieces do really well for Thanksgiving and Christmas. So pay attention to that. I sell both usually for both holidays in different colors, styles. You know, there's something for everyone. There's high end, there's low end, there's middle, there's kids. There's just, that's a freebie for you. Look at tablecloths and centerpieces. But so it was a specific Christmas one. I remember this one now. Like, it took me a minute to remember what story I was telling. The wholesaler was sold out. So this table cover and the centerpiece sold out. And we were like, okay. So we bought more retail arbitrage. We knew where they sold them. And we're just like, let's just go gather some more. We could probably sell, you know, 50 more of these or whatever. And so we took a chance and we went retail arbitrage, and it was like December 12th. And so we're like, okay, if we get it there. And this was several years ago when shipping wasn't as crazy. Like, you could probably send it in and still get it there and everything. I mean, like, nowadays, I would never, never recommend this. But years ago, you could send a box in and it could be checked in 3 days and be live on Amazon. That is like unheard of now. Like, some prep centers or some fulfillment centers are a little bit faster, but mostly it's slow. So we sent in the stuff, we got a retail arbitrage and took a chance that it would make it. And it arrived on like December 27th. It took 2 weeks. So it was just like, it was almost 2 weeks. It was just like, this is a nightmare. And of course we sold a couple after that, but then we pretty much got stuck with it till the next season. So that's like the worst that could happen, I guess, except for we just recalled that we didn't buy a ton more, but we bought more thinking we could sell, you know, 20 or 30 more, I think maybe 50. I want to say it was 50. I don't know. It was years ago. I forget. But it was a substantial amount to where we're like, oh my gosh, these will sell so well. And we got stuck with them and we had to sell them again the next year, which they sold just fine. But that's always a bummer. You don't want to do that. The moral of that story is ship stuff early and buy enough inventory to get you through the season. Make an educated guess based on the data of, okay, how many people, how many of these, what days are they going to sell? Do I have enough inventory to say to sell at least one a day for the whole Q4 period, and depending on when you send it in? So if it's Christmas and you're sending it in beginning of October, then you, or the mid-October maybe, and you've got 2.5 months to work with, you know, and if your cutoff is like maybe 5 days before Christmas, depending on, I always use Christmas as the example. It just seems easier, but this applies to every holiday, right? So if it's Thanksgiving, whatever else, you want to leave yourself like a 3-day buffer. If it's going to be used like on that day, you have to think about those things, what you're selling. Is it, and what day is it most likely to be used? I mean, you're don't usually sell Christmas light. You sell Christmas lights early because people start decorating for Christmas early, like November. Sometimes people at the beginning of November, it's like as soon as Halloween's over, they have like their Christmas stuff up. They just skip fall altogether or Thanksgiving altogether. Anyway, so you have to think about when people are going to use said items. So like a table cover and a centerpiece is generally used on or around the holiday. Like, people have Thanksgiving dinner on Thanksgiving. So you still have a couple days buffer before the holiday to people ordering it last minute. But generally speaking, there's certain things like the decor items or like Christmas lights, people are putting those up early. So probably by like late December, people aren't buying lights and putting them up anymore. I mean, people buy lights for all kinds of reasons all year round, just so you know. But it's one of those things where, you know, you got to get that stuff in early, thinking about when the customer is going to use it and how long do you have to send it in. So timing of specific inventory is essential. But then you have things like Halloween candy, where Halloween candy goes on clearance like the day after Halloween, and people buy that stuff until it's gone. Because candy, like, yeah, it has an expiration date, but like, no one cares if your Hershey Kisses are wrapped in like orange and purple or red and green. Hershey Kisses are Hershey Kisses. And if you're anything like me, a bag of Halloween Hershey Kisses won't last 10 minutes anyway. So who cares what they're wrapped in? You know, most of the time the companies just change the colors, and there's certain holiday flavors and things, which we will talk about in the Q4 Jumpstart class, mommyincome.com/jumpstart. We will talk about specific things to sell during the holidays. And I get very specific about stuff because there are so many things that people miss for the holidays. They just, things that they just don't pay attention to. There's also sporting events and other really big major nationwide events that happen during Q4 that people don't pay attention to. And especially this year, coming off of a pandemic and having things subside and things like that, and people vaccinated, events are going to be back. And that opens up a whole new world of products to sell based on those things. So let's join the Q4 Jumpstart class so that you can learn more about that. mommyincome.com/jumpstart. Okay. My next big mistake is focusing on toys. So of course, there's a lot of advertising and a lot of marketing and things like that geared towards toys for the holiday season. But early on in my Amazon selling career, I specialized in toys. I had younger kids, and so I kept my focus there. I left so much money on the table because I just didn't pay attention to other products. I was just like all about the toys, all about the trends, all about the characters, all about those different things. And it took me several years to realize, like, as my kids started to get older and I was buying less toys, and I'm like, wow, like most of the stuff I personally buy for the holidays are not for children. Think of all the people that people buy gifts for, right? When you're thinking about it, and people start buying gifts really early. So think about it, bosses, coworkers, parents, grandparents, neighbors, friends, aunts, you know, white elephant gifts, community gifts. Sometimes people do Secret Santa and, you know, different things like that. Most of those things are for adults. And so you have tons of, if you're focusing just on toys, or you feel like, oh my gosh, it's Q4, it's Christmas, I got to start selling toys. Like, don't worry about it. There's so many other things to sell on Amazon during Q4, all the way from starting October 1st, all the way through the year. And when I say through the year, don't forget about New Year's Eve. There's plenty of things to sell for New Year's Eve, just all kinds of stuff. People are going to be in party mode this year, and they're going to want to get together, and that's going to be back to maybe, I don't know, back to the old way, maybe a new old way. I don't know what it's going to look like, y'all, but my prediction is that people are going to be excited to gather again, and whether it's safely or a distant way or whatever, they're going to be gathering. And so that means new outfits, that means new shoes, that means all kinds of things. So don't focus on toys. As a matter of fact, if you never sold a toy in your life, or you don't have young children, or your toys just aren't your thing, don't sell a single toy. Last couple of years, we didn't sell any toys for Q4. We're focusing on other things because people buy just about anything. And boring, average, everyday stuff, evergreen, replens, don't forget about those. People are still buying your average everyday stuff. People still have birthdays. People still have all these different things. So don't think for a second that if you don't sell toys, you're somehow missing out on Q4, because there's a boatload more things to sell than that. Next mistake, not selling on multiple platforms. So for a while, for most of the time, I just focus on Amazon. I do have an eBay store. It's kind of ebbs and flows. I usually sell more things on eBay during the holiday season, but most of those are like my one-offs, things that I treasure hunt for during yard sale season and things like that. So it's nothing like, it's like one-off items. It's not like bulk or wholesale. But I failed to realize at some point that every price market is going to be competitive when it comes to certain things. So I know last week in that episode, I warned you about chasing trends. Okay. I don't want you to chase trends. Trends are just something that come and go. Some people make a little bit of money. Some people lose a lot of money. It's just not worth it. I'd rather spend time at the steady eddy kind of stuff rather than jumping in on certain trendy things. But as things start to sell out, or if you have things to sell that you're trying to get rid of, or just even used items, if you're not cross-listing popular or rare items on multiple platforms, you could be losing a lot of money. A lot of people think that, you know, used stuff is for eBay and new stuff is for Amazon, and they don't like kind of cross-list it. But Facebook Marketplace is a fast way to make a dollar without it costing you a cent. Like it, right now, at least. I mean, eventually I feel like they're going to charge for such a service, because why wouldn't they? But what do you have to lose if you cross promote something on Facebook Marketplace? Now you can ship things to people. You can ship them. You can have porch pickup. You can meet people somewhere. Like, it's free. And it's a lot safer, I think, than Craigslist ever used to be, because, you know, people's Facebook profiles are like their real life. Like, you can find out people, and like, you know, so it's got more of a trust level there. It's also Poshmark and eBay and Etsy and OfferUp and Walmart and Depop. There's so many different places to sell. So if you're struggling to wonder where your inventory is going to go, or maybe if you've got some slower sellers and you want to, you know, kind of do that, sell on multiple platforms. Sometimes things sell for more money on eBay than they do Amazon. It's pretty rare, but it's oftentimes because people aren't checking Amazon. They check eBay, and sometimes those prices are more, especially new old stock. What I mean by new old stock is stuff that was discontinued years ago, and somehow someone found it on the CVS shelf at the bottom, and it's like a version that no one ever, you know, I've done this with action figures before, where they've had like, you know, because who really goes to CVS and buys toys? I mean, occasionally there's this and that. But so I used to sell toys, and I used to, you know, look for these things in like these, you know, hidden gem areas. So you'll find that like rare action figure that, you know, no one can find because they discontinued it in like 2004. And so those can be, those fetch a lot of money, but a lot of times people look for older items like that, vintage or even not so vintage, but like at least 5 years old where, you know, you're not going to be able to find it new anywhere on eBay. And so they pay more money there. So where if you list it on Amazon, it's going to sit longer because not as many people are searching there. So paying attention to multiple platforms and trying to list your product wherever you can, that's a great job for a VA to be able to cross list and cross promote your items in different places, because you're leaving money on the table if you're not selling anywhere and everywhere. I mean, you're in retail. In retail, you want to sell stuff. You want to sell all of your inventory all gone. Like that's like the dream, man. So make sure that you're cross-listing, cross-promoting, and, you know, giving yourself an opportunity to sell wherever you can. And my other major pricing thing is paying attention to pricing. One of my big mistakes here. Okay, so yeah, the first round of Disney Frozen, right? You guys, I mean, this was years ago, so you remember when that was. Disney Frozen, I can't remember when that came out. I feel like my daughter was like 3, 7 years ago, maybe. Maybe 6, I don't know. First Disney Frozen movie. Anyway, I was buying these things by the boatload and sending them. This was before all the crazy restrictions on stuff. And I was selling, you know, Disney Frozen, this, that. And I had a very popular item and I had stock of it. And it was just selling like hotcakes, whatever else. And one day, one person bought 20 of the same item. And I thought it was bogus. Like, I didn't think it was going to be a legit transaction. Turns out it went through. And so I was like, what is happening? Well, so I started looking around and wondering, why would someone buy 20 of these? Like, that doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm happy to have the money if it's legit, but I was worried more about returns and everything else. Well, what happened was that all of my competition sold completely out of their really low price items. And I had mine priced a little higher. Why? Because I knew it would sell, but not too much higher, just maybe a dollar or so. Well, and all of a sudden I sold out of them. Someone bought all 20 of them and they sold, the rest of them sold out. I was the only one who had them at the time. I never changed my price. Now, you guys, this is basic supply and demand. Okay. And I know some of you are like, oh, people get mad on Amazon and because of markups or, you know, supply and demand type things, or they call it price gouging or whatever. Yeah. I think there's a moment in time where something is price gouging. If you're price gouging, that's on something that's a necessity. Like, you don't price gouge on gasoline or, you know, hand sanitizer during a pandemic or food or toilet paper or those kind of crazy things, like these necessity type items. But when you're talking about a luxury toy item, there's no such thing as price gouging. It's called supply and demand. If you have the only inventory left, it's called name your price. Someone somewhere will be desperate enough to pay what you're asking. Ask me how I know, because people were buying, what was it last year? It was like the PlayStation 5 or whatever it was that people were spending, you know, $3,000 on one when they cost $300 or $400, I don't know, something like that. It's not about price gouging. That's not price gouging. That's, I have one, you want one, what are you willing to pay? That's called business. That's what we're doing. We're here to make profit. So we're not here to just be like, oh, I want to give an equal opportunity for everyone. No, it's supply and demand. My price goes up when the demand goes up and supply goes down. So if you have the lion's share of the supply, you get to control the price. Now, be nice, be generous, but also make your money because that's what you're here for. Now, I never changed my price on these items, and that person bought all 20 of them when I could probably have doubled my price at that point because I was the only one that was left with this item. And so the moral of the story, set up price alerts. You can learn how to do that in the Q4 Jumpstart class, mommyincome.com/jumpstart. But set up pricing alerts in Keepa, set up pricing alerts on Amazon. So if something's like, notify me when this goes out of stock. Had I done that, I probably would have got a text message or an email that says, hey, this item's out of stock or in stock or back in stock. And it would have shown the price. And then I would have been able to correct that price or use an automatic repricer, especially on something that you're competing heavily with other people. You can set up automatic pricing rules to go up or down on Amazon, or you can use an outside service, a repricing service that I don't have one to recommend because I don't use repricers anymore. I use either Amazon's fluctuation, but most of the time I don't need to do that because all of my bundles are wholesale bundles and my own brand and nobody is on my listings. So I don't have any competition directly. So I don't have to worry about pricing anymore, but I do. And I have a story about that for non Q4, just regular. So using an automatic replacer, checking your prices often, raising your price. Most people in Q4 panic and they start lowering their prices thinking, oh my gosh, I have 100 of these left and I'm not going to sell them. And they start lowering their prices and all of a sudden they sell them all at a loss when you don't have to. There is somebody out there crazy enough to pay your price and pay overnight shipping to get the thing that they want that they forgot. So hold out for the big spenders because they're out there. Number two, raise the price. When it comes to supply and demand, I've seen people pay boatloads of money for a Hatchimal or for different things over the years that are like, oh my gosh, my kid just has to have this and I never found one and all that kind of stuff. So people will pay and people pay big money and spend big money during Q4 because sometimes that's all that they ever, that's the only time of year they really ever give gifts to people and they want to, you know, be high rollers or even whatever, but just paying attention to that. Paying attention to your price and raising your prices. Your prices go up. Now, the story about that for like average everyday item was there's one supplier for an item that I sell, evergreen, non-holiday item. And this just happened recently where with all the supply issues that have been going on since, you know, COVID and everything else, there's quite a bit of a delay in shipping. Well, I knew this was happening. So the last time my supplier was in stock of my top selling product, I ordered double the amount of inventory that I needed because number one, I knew that my prep center would keep it there for, you know, an extra couple of weeks, but I also knew that they were going to run out. And if I wanted to make it through till their next shipment arrived, then I was going to need to buy extra. And so sure enough, I bought extra. I had one other competitor, not on my listing, but a similar listing. They sold out and mine started selling like triple the volume. And so what did I do? I upped the price by $3, not a budget. Everyone kept still buying. So I upped my price up to $5 more. People were still buying. I upped it to $6. They were still buying. So I'm like, I'm the only one with inventory here. So I controlled the price. I raised the price of that item $10 more. This is like in the last couple of months, $10 more than what I was selling for before. Why? Because supply and demand. My other competitors didn't order enough inventory. They ran out. They didn't anticipate this supply issue. And I got to make $10 more. That was all more profit. None of that was cost of goods. I was already making a healthy profit. So what's the moral of the story here? Be prepared. Pay attention to these little things that your competition's not paying attention to. There's people out there that all their whole entire business model is just copying off everybody else, copying off of who's selling this, who's selling that. What are the trends? What can I just jump in and jump out of and make a quick dollar? Y'all, I don't want to make a quick dollar. I want to make a slow million. That sounds way better because quick dollars go quick, right? So paying attention to that. So again, upping your prices, not panicking and lowering prices, selling on multiple platforms, not focusing all on toys for Q4. You don't even have to sell one toy. Don't get late shipments in. Don't chance it or risk it when it comes to that. Even I have a high risk tolerance. I'm willing to like put all in on most things. But after those late shipments and getting stuck with something for a whole season, I'm not about late shipments. I want to get stuff in early. And of course, don't live with regret. Don't, you know, order more inventory than you think you need. And there's always ways to get rid of it. Don't forget, if you want to learn more about exactly what to sell on Q4 and selling strategies to maximize profits, holiday action calendar with important dates, shipping deadlines, and a live Q&A session, July 28th, 8 p.m. live. Register for the class at mommyincome.com/jumpstart. I can't wait to hang with you and teach you more about how to jumpstart your Q4 to have it like the best of all time. I know you guys can be anywhere else listening to any other thing right now, so I don't take that for granted. Thank you for listening to the Amazon Files podcast, and I hope I see you on the Q4 Jumpstart class next week. Bye, everyone. Thank you for being a loyal listener. If you are ready to take your business to a whole new level, I'm ready to work with you. Visit mommyincome.com/coach to schedule your one-on-one call today. I'll be back next week with more strategies to help you succeed. Until then, step small and dream big.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the Amazon Files podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to leave a review on iTunes by heading over to mommyincome.com/review. The Amazon Files will be back again next week. Thanks again for listening.